Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
What we should be doing as a body of Christ is being able to clear the way, clear the path, come alongside each other and help each other so that every one of us can get and walk in our full God-given calling together.
Come on. That'd be freedom.
That would be. If we all had that mindset of like, hey, I'm going to put myself to the side and not be selfish, even though I see that you have what I want. Yeah. Let me help you get there.
Yeah.
Let me help you develop that. Let me help pour into you what I want. And then if we were all doing that, man, it would be amazing.
Well, God's kingdom will be glorified, not ours.
Yeah.
All day long. And then there's the aspect of, you know, because I've been talking about this probably for years of like preaching a message, spiritual teenager, you know, because I feel like you're constantly honoring up, right? Just, I don't ever get to, let's say, David Vestal or Don Babin, you know, I'm growing and learning, and there's things that I'm growing and learning and that sometimes I teach them while we're talking, but my honor is always submitted unto them that they're always that person. Because what happens sometimes is we have this disease. I don't know if it's a disease. Let me not call it that. Y'all, it's called spiritual teenagers.
This virus.
Like a teenager. Yeah. If you had a teenager before, they get to a place where they feel they know more.
Yeah.
And then they actually, you know, almost disrespect in a way where they feel that they know more because they've learned some things.
Yeah.
And I'm always constantly telling people, you know, me and my wife, I've had conversations, me and some friends, and I go like, you feel like you've grown in the last 3 years? They go, yeah. I go, okay, you think I stopped or what? like at some point, I feel like you have to keep that honor. It says, you know, there's a verse, and I'm like looking at the guy, but that doesn't know the address of this verse, but where it was like pretty much honor your, you know, the it's not above his master or the servant,
yeah,
or whatever, right?
Teacher, as soon as
yeah,
teacher.
Yes. Yeah. And so I think, and I'm saying that from a like prideful, like there's this, you know,
it's kingdom,
it's just kingdom honor, yeah, like that we continue to grow like that, and you don't ever get jealous of them. You know, a good father is always trying to get their sons and daughters to do better than them,
yeah,
right? That's a sign of a good father, that's not insecure.
It's humility,
yeah,
right?
You know, the crazy part is that's so empowering. If you always keep yourself in that state of mind, you'll never not grow.
Yeah,
because the moment you feel like you've outgrown somebody or something, or you feel like you're above that, your heart's prideful. And he says he resists the pride, the proud.
Is that sometimes, I think, you know, I guess from stories I've heard and stuff, because I've put myself out there to kind of get hurt, other people take the pulpit, you know, all that stuff from within the, right? Because usually it's just a bunch of guest speakers. I let people from within preach, right? Which, you know, because I've heard stories, right, where you do that and all of a sudden they divide the church, or like, I think there's this stigma that goes around too, which I understand, right? Because like, I know somebody that happened 3 times to, right? So I'm like, maybe it's how you develop that person and you put them up there. I don't know, right? Because I wasn't there and I don't know the whole story, but I feel like sometimes people are afraid that, hey, I'm going to teach them everything, even though that's not kingdom. Teaching them everything is kingdom.
Yeah, facts.
But the thought of like, you know, if they're going to be honest, pastors are afraid. You know, everybody talks about church hurt. Everybody talks about, you know, I had a dream once that I was going to be speaking to a bunch of pastors. And I already know the message. The message is going to be on offense. Because a lot of times.
Offense or like on offense?
Offense.
Oh.
Being offended.
Yeah.
Because pastors, we've taught that so often to congregants who come and they go, hey, you know, I've been church hurt. And so let's say you hit 4 churches, 5. Let's make you a crazy guy and you hit 7, right?
10.
You know, you hit all these churches. You never really were planted because you were church. 7, that could happen in 2 years to a pastor. That could happen in 1 year. That could happen in a month.
Facts.
Right? So there's this constant, like, I'm going to be there. Hey, I'm here. I'm doing this. And the minute they learn or they get divisive or stuff happens or they steal or whatever, or they leave and talk about you and try to destroy your ministry. So there's all these things because people live off of shorts or, you know, they don't live off of true life that are, you know, that are destroying people. And because people don't read their Bibles, you know, that's a sign right there. If you're at a place where they're constantly talking about other people, but they're all talking about themselves and how they're doing everything right, that's a sign.
Facts.
Right? Okay. We should be preaching the gospel. We should all be gospel-centered. Mm-hmm. We're one Father, one Lord, one family, one baptism, one Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? So, I mean, how do we have 15 different... That makes denominations. No sense. Well, yeah, if you're a part of the body, I should care.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I don't miss it. But I shouldn't be divisive.
Yeah.
That's not back. Jesus. It doesn't matter what you say. Well, they this. No. What's your part in that?
Yeah.
Did you have a good conversation? Now, I could understand why a person doesn't listen. I get it. Mm-hmm. But
that just shouldn't shake you.
Yeah, it shouldn't shake you.
If you're manifesting Christ and you're going back to the roots, yeah, you should always be aligned. Yeah.
So you know, I think that's the cause and effect, right? Because then even in that, people are becoming things. Because you're saying it doesn't shake you, but yeah, people are becoming things that they were never really intended to become, but they became because people made them that way. And Jesus is like, no, you know.
Yeah.
But it's what happens. It's what happens, right? Well, you start making inner vows. Well, I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
I'll never let somebody else take the pulpit.
Yeah.
I know somebody that didn't let somebody in the pulpit like 10, 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah, because they were hurt so many times.
Mm.
And then the next one comes and he goes, I will never do that. It's like, if the pastor's been hurt 30 times, 40 times, 50 times, let's take a 20-year pastor.
So in that certain scenario, what should one do?
I think for me, what I do, I make sure that I see the fruit of a person and that I'm walking with that person before you get behind that pulpit and be free.
Well, I don't mean to the extent of like letting somebody else come preach, but like internally.
Internally, sure. Well, first of all, you have to ask yourself the difficult questions. Did you disciple that person? Did you see fruit in that person? But ultimately, when I do things that, because it has come in before, right? There was a time, and you know this time, we all know this time, we just won't mention what time.
Well, I mean,
but time. Where they came and they knew the word. This guy submitted for like a year and a half. He did everything. If you tell him anything, you tell him, he did it.
Mm.
It was like crazy, man. I had never seen this. It's only one time I actually seen it.
Oh, it's quick too.
Oh yeah. And yes, so sir. Waited yes, and then the minute I gave him authority, it's like his head spin. Like it's like we it was just like, what just happened here? Mm-hmm. Knew the word, but used it as a beat knife. To cut and to right. And then I don't know, now it's crazy. When I see his life now, it's just I'm like, all right, and then y'all were listening, you know. but again, how I dealt with that is that I'm not going to let something that happened to me become my identity and who I am. I know that I'm a son and that God is for me and not against me. Mm-hmm. And I know that those things sometimes happen, as it happened to some of the greats in the Bible, for us to actually learn from and teach forward to other people. But my identity is solid and grounded in Christ, that if something happens, revenge is not mine. I don't have to avenge it. I don't have to revenge it. I stay solid in truth, and I continue to be who I am with the people. Because you'll miss an Ernesto or a Megan coming, because if I put up a wall, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
I'll miss something great in front of me because of something in my past.
We were doing a devotional this morning, and it talked about Saul and Barnabas.
Yeah.
And it says that, you know, that they were cool, and then they had a disagreement.
Yeah.
And then they parted ways.
They parted ways.
So the question was asking, so do you think that it was a good thing that they met? Like, was it important for them to meet, knowing the fact that at the end there was going to be a disagreement that made them part?
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of, and in the gist, it kind of goes into like what you were saying. Like, yeah, it's important that they have met, because everybody has a purpose, and from everybody you can learn, and from everybody you can develop Christ-like characteristics and a heart, because the ones that you can't extend grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, patience, kindness supernaturally until there's opposition to it
all day long.
Like, so if you don't ever have that person that comes to test that, or that comes against that, you'll never be really to be able to really express it supernaturally when it's really produced by the Holy Spirit. It's just a manufactured one that we have to the ones that do follow along with what we say.
That's fire.
Yeah.
That's fire. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say Romans 12 says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought.
Oh, come on.
But think of yourself with sober
That's
judgment.
That's your scripture, right?
in accordance with faith God has distributed to each of you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. Each member belongs to all others. We have different gifts according to grace that is given to each of us. Amen. If it's prophesying, then prophesy. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then encourage with encouragement, but do it diligently. And I think that sometimes we might have a gift of servanthood, and it's a gift that we have because we're all called to be servants. Amen. But then we see somebody prophesying, or we see somebody doing a deliverance, and we're like, but I want that. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And then we're constantly trying to do something that we're not meant to do, but we all have been given it. And he says to do it diligently. We're to steward it.
Yeah.
We have to be good stewards of what he's given us.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, no, totally, man. It's interesting how, as you keep maturing, you know, because there were things that I used to say, like right now, you know, I'm, we're teaching the book of Ephesians. And then, you know, it was taught to me this way, you know, in the beginning, it was like, you know, the Holy Spirit. And yes, the Holy Spirit is important. But, you know, people would say, like, you know, I don't have to learn all this stuff. Like, why do I have to learn it? Da, da, da. So I used to be like, I don't have to learn it. The power of the Lord. And so as I've matured, I see the importance of understanding exegesis or hermeneutics or certain things that are actually just tools so that you could understand context, or you could understand who they were talking to, or what was going on, so that then you could actually implement. So the scripture actually speaks to you rather than you give it meaning.
Realistically.
You know? Yeah, because eisegesis is you read it and you see it through your lens and you go, this is what it means.
And you insert.
Which happens all the time. Yes. Mm. And then exegesis is the scripture is actually speaking to you and you're pulling from the scripture what's, you know, what is it saying to me, right? And so, interesting enough, in time, so there was a time where I used to like da-da-da-da to the people that were actually saying that, right? That were saying, hey, this is good. Oh, but y'all don't need that and I don't need this. I would say that, but never disrespectfully. I would just say that internally or to like my close friends. Man, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And so even in the very early days, you know, I would preach like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do until I get there. That's improper preparation. There's no structure. All of these things that actually really show you who you are, we minimize and we say it's not God.
Yeah.
You get a saying, and we say, well, they were uneducated. They were uneducated where they weren't a doctor, or maybe they weren't a lawyer. But these people were learning scripture since they were like, they weren't uneducated in scripture.
Hey, they memorized the Torah by the age they were 10. By the time they were 10?
Yes.
They knew the Torah.
Yes. Yes. So, like, it wasn't like they were foreign to, like, they could just tell you about them crossing, you know, the seas parting. Like, they knew all those stories. Like, they knew everything.
And they could discuss it. I was reading that by the age they were, by the time they were 10, they could not just memorize the Torah, but they could conversate with you.
Yeah.
In regards to discussing it.
All day long. So I'm saying that because I think that's an important part of building a relationship, not just head facts, but to really understand the heart of God, right? To all of that matters when you're actually not going to be insecure or not going to be, right? I think we use a lot of, we say a lot of things that aren't accurate. And as you're maturing, you get to see that some of those things were true and that you actually needed it. And that the only reason you didn't want to do some of those things was because, number one, you were lazy. Mm-hmm. Number two, you were trying to take shortcuts. Number three, you were just trying to follow somebody else and not really do the work to become.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But God says, what is it to you? Follow me, right? It's one of those verses. Like when you're actually thinking, we run a personal race, not a competition. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing is, how do we break free and find our lane? How do we break? So we've talked a lot about pretty much in a vast way of comparison, not just saying, hey, I look like this person, you know, because really all the people that most people are following were just being themselves, right? That's what we talked about earlier. Yeah. And then you all follow them. We're afraid to set our own trend or to try to do. I'm always telling our communications team, I'm like, with your relationship with God, like reach for something. Like, yes, learn. But then be who we are. Like,
unique.
I don't know. Can I do a reel like this? I don't know. Can you? Like, why do I have to follow every other trend? Why can't you become a trend. Like, why can't you pray and say, God, how are we going to do this? Because that's where you're going. That's the main vein, man. Thanks. Let me tell you, for those that don't understand, and I used to get high, one thing that I understood is shooting up, like, right? You're like, what? But the reality is that you're always trying to find the vein with the most flow. We call that the main vein.
Yeah, main vein.
Yeah, so stop trying to find other people's stuff and find where God flows in your life is going to be through Ernesto, how Ernesto is.
That's right.
You with me? Yes, that's important. So how to break this stuff. Number one, celebrate others. We got to celebrate other people. And I think you guys talked about that, right? When jealousy rises, you turn it into praise. Yeah. Rejoice with those who rejoice, the Bible says, right? So we want to celebrate other people. We want to practice gratitude. Thank God for what he's doing in your life daily, which is, you know, what we talked earlier. Like, you know, is there something you could actually be grateful for rather than sitting in your wallet?
Misery.
Yes. Like, you know, oh, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. But you have a lot of great things.
Yeah.
You have a lot of great things. Just if you really sat back and thought, it might not be exactly how you thought it would be packaged. But if you really sat back and go, okay, where am I right now?
Yeah.
Right? I guarantee you that there's a list of things you can write down and be super grateful for. Amen. You might start crying.
Yeah, facts.
Right? We want to stay in our assignment. Not every good opportunity is your opportunity. It's something that we always talk about. Yeah. We're like, oh, I want to do it. Right? I want to do it. I still have pockets of that. Knowing, I'm going through it right now because we talked about, I called y'all yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then so now I might not do that. Right?
Yeah.
Because I started thinking, okay, let me figure this out. What's the task at hand? What's most important?
That's good.
Is that most important, or is it meeting in September with everybody most important? What's most important at this moment?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, when you talk to people, they're talking to you from where they're at. We've had this conversation when it comes to like ministries and all that. So everybody's like, they're all talking from what they're praying. So it's like, what's my assignment and what's my opportunity and what has God specifically called me to in this season?
Yeah.
What's in my hands? And that's what I should be doing.
Amen.
Because we are very creative and we're like, ooh. But this doesn't mean you have to. David taught me this, you know, Pastor David, where he was like, and he taught the staff this. He actually rebuked me in front of them and was like, pick five things or three to five things. And that's what you're working on. And so when I would give him like, oh, and then he told the staff, he said, if Pastor Juan has a great idea, and he honored me, he said, you know, it's your pastor. If he has a good idea, you go, that's a good idea, Pastor, but we're going to put it in the drawer. To kind of keep me leveled. Like, hey, and then so when I would give him a good idea, he said, well, so let's say I have five things going. Because not everybody could do five. Some people could do three. It just depends who you are and how you multitask, right? So I have five, and then he's like, I'm like, okay, these are the things I'm doing. And then I say, oh, I got, you know, I think I'm going to do this. And he say, okay, which one of these five are you not going to do? Yeah. So I'm like, they're all important right now. And he's like, yeah, but either we remove one for you to do that one, or you wait until you finish one, and then we add that one. And so I could have argued that, but the Lord... No, I see when I operate in that space, not only does it help me, it helps my spouse, my kids,
your team.
The team. Amen. It helps everybody because they're wisdom. Like, right? Yeah.
We're gonna do everything.
I move. Just because I can move that way don't mean that everybody else can move that way. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen.
I get it. And sometimes, you know, because I see some of the team over there laughing. So it just depends. It just depends how you structure and organize stuff. Sometimes people aren't doing the task at hand. So all of that creates problems. But anyway, I was going to go into a whole nother. So you want to limit comparison triggers. If social media is fueling insecurity, set boundaries fast. Fast on social media, man. Unfollow if necessary.
Amen.
If it's hurting you, unfollow. There's a lot of people I've muted. A lot of people I just have. You know, everything's not beneficial for my soul.
Yeah.
Right? And so it doesn't matter what you're saying.
Yeah.
If I don't see fruit in this season, just because you're famous, popular, everybody knows you, that's irrelevant. If I know you and I don't see fruit, I might mute you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now we can still. That means that we're still friends.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna love you, and if you need, but at the end of the day, I don't have to receive those things, right? So I'm looking at what I'm following, what I'm blocking, and it doesn't matter what people say, because as long as my relationship is good and solid with God, then it doesn't matter, right?
Amen.
If you're living it out, you're securing your identity and mm-hmm. gifts, right? Because we talked a lot about insecurity. Yeah. So if you're living it out, you're secure.
Yeah. I feel like the foundation of a lot of that stuff is your relationship with Jesus.
Well, you know yeah, that's I mean? A, that's in everything. Like every show, we could be like your relationship with Jesus.
But I mean, sometimes I feel like people don't have that. Like, you know, like it's a to-do instead of like living from, you know, from like all that stuff is important. But if you're not living it from, like you're just checking it off. And then at the end of the day, you're still back at square one, because when you check it off, you're still, what do you say all the time? You are who you are. And then no matter where you go, there you are. Like
there you are.
That's like so key, that if you don't know who you are and you're just checking things off, when you're done checking them off, there you are. You know what I mean?
That's why the first one I put, securing your identity, right?
Yeah, so
yeah. Well, it happens all the time in marriage mediation too. Like when I ask people, I go, what are you secure in? They all say Jesus. Mm-hmm. But then 3 pages later, I find out they're secure in their job. They're secure in money. They're secure in this. They're secure.
Really good.
Because here's the thing. Let's say you're a person and you're always like, I don't know money. Then your security is not in Christ.
Yeah, amen.
That's the truth. Yeah. Now we could wrestle that or whatever. Yeah. But when you go alone, if God is your provider, it happens every single time. Even with pastors. They're all like, da-da-da. But if there's a problem, then there's an issue with something in the gospel.
Yeah.
Every problem is pointed to Christ-centered.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, like, when people are like, oh, man, money, this, that, I'm like, okay, so if you had to eat ramen noodles, then you're not good with that?
Yeah.
Well, this, and this. Well, then, who are you looking at that's making you feel that way? Because Jesus, when we were eating bologna in ministry, when we started, right, we got 8 people, and I have no job at all. Some people are starting at least with a job, right? I got no job. And we're getting the $1.09, whatever it was, the little red bologna, right? Mm-hmm. And we baked it, broiled it, sauteed it. We did it all. I literally added, now y'all gonna think I'm crazy, but this is true. I added, fried my bologna, cut me some onions and peppers, like it was steak.
Mm.
Okay, we were happy. For people that know us, I mean, you were at church then. We were happy.
Yeah.
My security was in Christ.
Amen.
That's what I needed to do to fulfill what God had for me. Period. I had to sell donuts at that time. Donuts it would have been.
Yeah.
Praise God, I never got there. But we moved into an apartment. And we didn't have a house.
Yeah.
Or everybody that was coming to church had houses, you know, pretty much. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like those things are very, very important. Your acceptance comes from Jesus. Your security comes from Jesus. Everything comes from Jesus. Your provision, not just financially.
Yep.
Your daily needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stay focused on the mission, not other people's missions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you're a church, you're under one mission.
Yeah.
But there's a part you play in that mission, because that's
your part.
If God called. Yeah, that's your part. And nobody can do each other's part. If you're not living it out, you're going to constantly feel like you're behind and not enough. Which, again, is rooted in that. But if you're out there and you're feeling that way, then maybe you struggle with your identity.
You're insecure.
Insecurity, yeah. You either criticize others or secretly wish for their downfall.
Mm.
Right? If you're not living out the scripture secretly, which kind of sucks. And I walked with you through a season like that, right? Everybody's like, that season with you was like, I saw the Bible come to life.
Yeah. Mm.
Right, it was like all these people, Hosanna, Hosanna, honor, flowers. You know, you're coming, riding on the donkey, right? It's the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, Ernesto, you're amazing.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da, right? Instantly, crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is like wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like people are just waiting for people to fall, so they could be like, "See how right I am." And it's like, bro, is he part of the body? Is she part of the body? Are we in this together?
Yeah.
Even when they are restored, people will still, even years later, still point a finger and be like, but they, because they can't get it out of their head. But what about your closet that you have that nobody's talking about?
Really? We're going to talk about
what
closets.
About Jesus?
What about Jesus?
What about the blood of Christ?
If you're not living it out, you're going to neglect your own growth. and you're going to try to chase somebody else's path. You know, again, if you're in the first grade, be in the first grade. Be okay. Be happy. Like, it's not a bad thing. Like, I don't know. I think we still struggle. Remember when you were 16 and you said, I'm 16 and a half. Or, like, you were 18 and you wanted to be 20.
I'm
an adult.
Hey, now we want to stay young. I'm 29. Now we
want to stay young. If I could go back and listen.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think people still suffer with that. I think the reality is that we want to be more mature. We want to look more mature so maybe we could get used or whatever. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the problem is of wanting to be so mature to who much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hype is, you know, because, you know, more responsibility, more souls to steward. Like, you know, I don't see where I think everybody thinks that
it's platform.
We're just playing golf or something. Like,
Well, I think sometimes people chase the elevation, popularity, authority, like all the hype behind. There's this book called Spiritual Leadership, and it talks about the scripture that he who seeks the office of deacon is a noble task. It's something like that, but he's basically talking about, like, when you sought leadership back in the day, you sought a target.
Yeah.
Because realistically, they were persecuting Christians and leaders.
Yeah.
Only today are we like, I want to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. I want to be a... Nah, because back in the day, you said that, they were gunning for you.
Well, it's because... Yeah, they're chasing the other stuff.
Yeah, the acclamations.
And pastor always says, preaching, being on behind the pulpit, that's the easy part.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's the easy part.
That's like fun.
That's 10%.
It's the part that nobody sees.
That's fun. It's, you know, again, today I, you know, was on a Zoom call, 6 o'clock in the morning, right? You know, discipling people that I told I was going to disciple, you know, getting ready for my hangout. I just don't show up. I get ready for my hangout. I look at what extra thing I could give them in my hangout, what word I want them to learn in the hangout. You know what I'm saying?
And not even just that, but even so, like, for example, let's take, I'm going to use you as an example. 500 people.
Yes.
All the backstabs, all the hurts, all the slander, all the, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, when that person does something wrong, it's still me.
Yeah, he goes to Pastor Juan's church.
Get wrapped all day long.
Yeah, he must be a get wrapped.
I was telling Greg this morning, I know this is a side note, but I was telling Pastor Greg, I go, like, there was this story I said a long time ago. I think we were in the apartments, but I just came up this morning. I said, you know, there's a story about this guy. It's a true story, too. Forget the guy's name, but, you know, he was like, lost everything and he only had $20, and he went to this place and they were like, you know, if you give everything you have to the Lord. And so the guy gave $20 to the Lord. He said years later, this guy literally became a millionaire. And when he became a millionaire, he was traveling all around the world, and his story was this: I gave God everything I had and he made me a millionaire. And this guy's every place he went to, I gave everything I had, he made me a millionaire. I gave everything I had, gave me a millionaire. And so then all of a sudden, they're going to interview him on this big interview. And they say to him, so tell me your story. He's like, well, you know, I gave God everything I had, and he made me a millionaire. And so he goes, fantastic. Would you do it again? So the moral of the story is that some things everybody wants because of the hype, and it's easy. You know, you could use this in different, but I'm going to use it right now. But as it gets more difficult, what you were able to hide, let's say you weren't reading your Bible, and you're just going by, you know, the Holy Spirit, and let's just, and you're giving words, and all that is amazing. I'm not minimizing that. Those things are amazing. What I'm saying is, if God brings you more people, then your lack of character is going to crush you.
Amen.
If you don't know how to engage in your word, or you don't really know how to pray, you've just been faking the funk. When you get more people, and you get 3 backstabbers with 2 gossipers and 5, do you understand?
Yeah.
You don't make it through those things just like singing. Like, singing is good. Listen to me. Because it's spirit and truth. Like we could worship, and I've worshipped myself out of things. My heart postured, singing a song, yes. But we're going to just... singing is only half of it, I guess, or a quarter of it. I don't know what it is. It's just a piece of it. being rooted and grounded in Christ, which is the living word. That means you have to read the word, not just know the word here, but now you're filling yourself with the word, and when the moment arises, you're living out that word. And I know I don't know how we wound up here, but it needed to be said.
Yeah, it needed
to be said because
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that point, I feel like if you're not doing those things, you're not going to understand that God made you an original. He made an Ernesto. He made a Megan. I think they have a little saying that says, "Don't live a copy. God made you an original. Don't live a copy." But
don't fake it. Because
comparison's always going to whisper, "You're not enough."
Yeah.
But God, His word is going to shout, "You are mine. You are wonderfully made. You are made in my image."
Yeah. What about the guys in jail? Like, them struggling with comparison. What are some things that, like...
Oh, man. I feel like I'm giving a prescription. So, like, doctor's orders, right? Like, I feel like what you said earlier about your identity, be sure that you are accepted by Christ. Like, before I married Ruthie, and I've shared this story in a lot of places, but before I married Ruthie, I was in prison. And when I was in prison, I would be like, man, you know, constant what's missing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, when am I going to get married, God? Like, me and God had a great relationship. I mean, by that point, when I was in Mineral Wells and I was walking the yard, like, me and him, great relationship. I was always talking to him, okay, when am I going to get out? You know, when am I going to, right? Everything that I felt was missing.
The next.
Yes. And so this changed my life. It changed my life forevermore, bro. Like, I was walking, and I felt like the Lord was like, he said these words to me. He said, and it's verbatim, Juan, until you learn how to be joyful in me, you're never going to make anything else work or anybody else happy. Your wife's not going to be happy. Your kid's not going to be happy. Your friend's not going to be happy, because you're always going to be trying to find it in something else.
Amen.
He said, you have to be in me. So there started my journey. I stopped. Because I don't think he's threatened or it's bad, but if that's your constant thinking. So when you're in prison, I think you have to get to a place where you're accepted by Christ, your identity is in Christ, your security is in Christ,
amen,
your purpose is in Christ.
Yeah.
Because when you're in Christ, anything else added onto your life is going to be a blessing.
Yeah.
But if not, you're going to try to find it in your dating or in your girlfriend. You're going to try to find it in your job. You're going to try to find it in your money. You're going to try to find it in your ministry. You're going to try to find it. You got to be okay. What sustained us is that I learned that there. And then when I got out, I was still okay.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I was aware. By the time I got out, I was already aware of this stuff because of what he said. So when I got out, when I saw these people with cars and stuff, I was okay.
Mm.
I was okay with having a job doing receipts. Like, did it have moments of, this sucks, it's hot?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you're not human. I am saying that I was still okay because my foundation was Jesus. So even though I'm like, man, it's hot and tired, I would end with, man, but thanks God that I got to eat today.
Yeah.
You know, thanks God that I got to paint this wall today. Thanks God that I got to build this chair today.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, he got a job, and I just never did. Yeah. I was always on the side of like, thinking that verse in real life, thinking of things that are true, honorable, right? So I'm like, man, thanks God that. And if I'm thinking that, then it's almost impossible for you sit here and there at the same time. Go. It's just impossible. It's impossible. So something that when you're incarcerated or you're starting something new is to really embrace who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
And literally start living out some of those things that you continue to read about.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I was joyful. Like, I would read Proverbs about the ant. And I literally went. I did a whole study about an ant. I went to a tree and looked at the ants.
Yeah.
And somebody thought I was crazy. But I was in my lane, in my purpose. Again, God told me to walk the lines. That's in my first book, right? The yellow lines. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was walking those yellow lines, I was the only one.
Remember,
Think about if I wasn't secure in Christ. Like, even I thought, like, the enemy would say, you literally told me this in the beginning. Like, you're a sucker. Like, everybody else. Because they'd be like, yo, New York.
Yeah.
And I could hear the crowd going, like, they would literally say, what are you doing over there? Yeah. Man, come here. And I was like, no, I'll tell you later. And so I kept walking it. And I felt like stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Because but what was God doing? He was refining and melting away all my thug thizzle.
Yeah.
He was melting it away, man. He's like, no, you for me or for the crowd?
Yeah.
It's like, for you, Lord. And so then I would get to the end and shortcut it. And then he's like, no, I want you to walk to the end. So I look like a military guy walking to the end of the turning. Like, me and the guard,
yeah.
Right? And then a guy asked me from church. He's like, man, why do you do that? And I was like, I do that because I feel like the Lord told me if I couldn't do the little things right for him, mm-hmm. I would never amount to the big things.
Yeah. That's good. And I think it's in prison when the revelation is magnified, because that's when sometimes you have the time to go through the most feelings and emotions. Because you can sit there and be like, oh, like, why don't I have that? Or why do they have that? Or why did I get set off? Or, so even being intentional with identifying those feelings mm-hmm. and addressing them to see if you can even come out and be, how you saying, stable
all day long. Those things create anxiety even today. Like, I was talking to pastors that, today, where I'm at today. So I've conquered all the other stuff. But every now and then, when let's say in 1 week I hear 5 stories. I'm just being super vulnerable right now. So I'm doing my thing. You know, I'm praying, I'm fasting. Church is seeing exponential growth. Like, you know, all this great stuff's happening. And because I'm aware, I can pull myself out of it quick. Mm-hmm. But if I wasn't aware, it would. Because just for a little pocket, you start digging this hole, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say David Vessel. He's like, man, you hear this guy, man? He went over there. They gave him a Walmart for like $50,000. I'm like, what? Right? And then you hear another story. Yeah, just, you know, Pastor Ray, you know, they gave me the church. Oh, somebody else gave me this other building. I'm like, 3 buildings and a church? I'm like, bruh, I just need 1 building, right? I'm like, I'm believing for a house, you know, because somebody just give me a house, right? Yeah. Like for what we want to do. So you get in this tangent, right? You heard 4 stories, and now you literally go to the Lord, and you're like, man, God, I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired. Like, where is mine? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? And he's like, I want to do it different with you.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you don't hear nothing.
He's like, you're just like, go. For you.
Yeah. Or it's not. Yeah. Yeah. So even trying to avoid that, because maybe that's the pre-comparison, you know, where you're like, oh, well, it should be done like that for me too.
Yeah. That's fire.
Yeah.
But I don't know everything that he's doing in the other person or
the process.
Yeah, or where they've come from or what they went through or how long it took them. Yeah. Or
they're like that
we
too.
Only see the fruit.
Oh, no, yeah, totally.
Yeah, of you. It's totally. Like people don't know. They hear the story, but where you were 12 years ago, 13 years ago. Oh, no, and the totally. Sacrifices that you made, that you did eat the bologna, that you guys did have the apartment. Pastor Ruthie had her little wagon that she would pull. The wagon. Yeah, in your apartment. I remember walking in and there was just stuff stacked in the hallway.
That was the season.
And you guys were perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, our apartment was the storage.
It was.
So she was good for a little while, and then wife kicked on. She was like, because she was really happy. We were going through the thing. I mean, the hallway, Ernest, you would have seen it, Pastor Ernesto, like, just imagine your house with speakers, everything, like the whole house, right? So
the stage.
Everything. We didn't have it, so everything. We just pulled it out. On Sunday, everybody was in my house, like, pulling stuff out. Yeah. And then she hit me with the wife thing one day. She's like, am I ever going to have, like, my own apartment? So I'm like, oh, touche. So I think, I don't know. I think we moved into the dance studio, and then we kept everything over there. Mm-hmm. That's what God made a way.
Yeah.
But, it all goes back to identity and being okay with who you are. Mm-hmm. And stop thinking so much about out here. You'll miss in there if you're focused on out here.
Come on.
It's good.
Get out that world.
Did you have? Oh, I thought I saw you with letters. So that was last week.
That was last week. Yeah, I have some more letters too, though.
Yeah,
I got a bunch. Yeah, we got to read through. We're reading through them.
Okay,
man. I don't know. I'm gonna say this, but like, be respectful. Don't be writing, Pastor Stephanie crazy stuff and. You know, some of
look at Pastor Megan. Like, we're saying it before. Don't be
some of our, you know, the women that we have here on staff in church. Be respectful. We do read your letters. We're getting to them. We're trying to respond, but please honor, be respectful.
That's dope. Mm. Yeah. I mean, here's the crazy part: put off old things and put on the new, right? So maybe here's the thing: maybe you're not used to that, but that's going to cause you to get incarcerated again.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like that's truth. If we're going to keep it real and true, you know, we're going to keep it true, right? Yeah. I looked at you, the host, the Houston. if we're gonna be honest, like those things, that's what I mean. Like, when you have an identity in Christ and you have, you know, you think that those things that you're doing, those things are coming from a place of deception.
Yeah.
And it's what's destroying, it's what killed, steal, and destroy your life. So even though you see it as a small thing and maybe you're trying to find a pen pal or something, mm-hmm. by your disrespect is just not good. And you know what? That same character, that same mindset is what causes you to repeat.
Yeah,
right.
Cycle.
It's what causes you to repeat. So we're gonna close out the show. You know, is there any final words you'd like to share based on what we talked about, and maybe something you want to share? There's some ladies out there, because ladies listen too. So
yeah, the thing that was impressed upon my heart when you were talking was specifically to parents and moms.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, about just even with that and the home and comparison and kids coming home. And I know, like, in our home, it's been, but they get to stay out till midnight. They get to have Instagram and TikTok. Why can't we? They get to go see rated R movies. Why can't we? My whole crew's going, but I can't go.
So whole, now we got a whole another 40-minute show. Yeah. Now.
And it's
that's
just,
good.
Into you that. Know, but that comparison, I just want to encourage the parents to stand your ground, do what the Bible says, gather around the table, talk about the word, pray together. Share it amongst your kids, because the fruit is going to be there.
Yeah.
The seeds are deposited. So I just want to encourage anybody who's listening in that, because the world that our youth and our little ones are growing up in with the influences that they have, stand your ground, explain it, pull out the scripture, read it with them.
Yeah.
So that they understand, and that you are nurturing that environment of maturity and growth, so when they step into their schools, they have an understanding as to why in this house we don't do that. In that house, really, they can do that, but that's not who we are.
That's really good. It's really good. I thought about 18 other comparison things. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're married, don't compare, you know, because sometimes people do that too when their husband is growing in the Lord or something. They're like, why can't you be like Pastor Ernesto? You know, it is what it is, right? Why can't you be like her?
Yeah.
Like, don't put that pressure on another person. And the truth is, that person was like that just years ago.
Well, you're not even seeing what their bad part.
Yeah, they're bad. Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, final words from you.
For me, man, that line, man, that each one should test their own actions, that just really resonated with me, man. And I just feel like wherever you are, whether you're in prison, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, like, test your actions, man. See where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. See what's motivating them. See the posture of your heart. See what's influencing for you, influencing you to act the way you act. You know what I mean? Because it speaks volumes about where you're living from and who you're rooted in. So test them. You know, sit down and analyze your heart, the way you see and why you're doing what you're doing, and it'll reveal, you know, where you're living from.
Yeah, judge yourself lest you be judged.
Yeah,
right?
Come on. Yeah.
I think it's a sound wisdom. And so I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want you to remember that you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
You are your identity, your security, your purpose, all of those things are in Christ. You know, read Ephesians 1, read Ephesians 2, read Ephesians 3.
We're
in
the book of,
yeah, well, totally, because it starts off with you find in your identity and who you are, and then it stems. It goes later. I think 1, 2, 3 is like in who you are, and then it goes into what you should be doing or what it looks like. And so be rooted and grounded in Christ. Don't forget that God made you exactly how he wanted to make you. We love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning into This Is Real. Don't forget to all your friends and all your family need some help on these pre-orders for That's Crazy, No, That's God. It launches October 21st. Also, I need your help in telling the people out here that all of these shows are on This Is Real, plus our Sunday services are on This Is Real. Get Rap People. Those are our YouTube channels. Make sure that you send all your friends and family to go check it out. That would be an awesome blessing. Like, subscribe, notification bell, that other good stuff. Pastor Megan, it's always an honor to have you on. Pastor Nesto, as you know, it's always awesome having you on. Thank you for tuning in to This Is Real. Peace.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.